Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God for our consideration this morning is taken from the fifth chapter of St. Matthew, the Gospel text which has already been read. If you go up north to the frozen tundra, Lambeau Field, Green Bay, Wisconsin, home of the Green Bay Packers, and you look up, you will see a list of names and numbers there on the inside of the upper deck. The Ring of Honor, it's called, and it's made up of the names of former players, but not just any former player makes it into the Ring of Honor. The Ring of Honor is reserved for only the best of the best. Walk across the street to the Packers Hall of Fame, you'll see four Super Bowl trophies, various memorabilia and displays dedicated to teams and to people who have been a part of the team over the years. Or if you just want to watch Monday Night Football tomorrow, they'll show the Ring of Honor. Go to any professional college or high school facility, and you'll see a lot of the same thing. The last time I looked, Kate Anderson still holds the record for the 40-yard dash at Lakeside Elementary School in Pittsburgh, Kansas. It's what we do with our athletes to honor them and to recall what they have done. And we do the same thing with our soldiers, perhaps nowhere more than the hills and valleys around Gettysburg, a small town in eastern Pennsylvania, made famous by the three-day battle fought there 150 years ago and the speech given by President Lincoln a few months later. Many soldiers who fought and died at Gettysburg, most of them are buried there, each of them with a headstone marking his final resting place, each painstakingly cared for by a small army of groundskeepers. And dotted seemingly every few feet in those few hundred acres are monuments. Never seen so many monuments. Small monuments, large monuments, monuments ordinary, monuments ornate. To regiments, to small groups, to individuals, each of them describing some act of bravery or heroism. And at the top of the hill, where Pickett's charge reached its deepest penetration and was repulsed, you can't swing a dead cat without hitting one of the monuments at the place where the Confederacy came closest to winning the war, but they didn't. Go to any battlefield, military base or cemetery, and you're going to see the same. It's what we do with our soldiers to honor them and to recall what they have done. Oh, and once a year, we may dedicate and designate a day to remember them and other important people who have shaped our history. Washington and Lincoln, we celebrate their birthdays with a day, Columbus Day, Veterans Day, Memorial Day, and some still remember December 7th, 1941, a day that does live in infamy. It's what we Americans do, and it's also what Christians do. It's what Christians do to honor those who have gone before us and to recall what they have done. We call these people saints, and we honor them, and we do recall what they have done, and we give to some of them those days that we're talking about, and today we celebrate All Saints Day. It hasn't been all that long ago that he was a relatively unknown young man from a small town, the backwater called Nazareth. But he went out then to John. And when John the Baptizer saw him, he said of him, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And when he was baptized then by John, a dove descended unto him, and a voice from the sky proclaimed him to be "My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And from that moment, it was on. From that moment, it was on. He was led into the wilderness by an angel to begin the eternal battle with Satan. And while there, he was tempted by Satan to sin, like we are tempted by Satan to sin. And yet, unlike us, he did not ever And so Satan left him, Luke tells us, until an opportune time, and Satan tried a different tack, get to him through his friend John. And using the evil Herod as his tool, Satan had John arrested and thrown into prison, and we talked about that just a couple weeks ago. And Matthew tells us that when he heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee, which was quite a ways from where John was, away from his own possible arrest. And leaving there, he stayed a short time in Nazareth, and he traveled a short distance up the road to Capernaum, still far away from John, and he began to preach the same thing that John preached, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. You see, he knows how things are going to end with John, and he also knows how things are going to end with him. And so it is that he now begins to call men to himself, men who he will send out and who come to be known as apostles. It means ones sent out. And they went about Galilee. And as they went, he preached and he taught and he healed various diseases. And they watched and they listened to him and learned. And great crowds followed him. And it was in seeing the throng that he was moved to go up unto that mountain and to preach a sermon, which has come to be known as the Sermon on the Mount. And it includes some of the most well-known and amongst the most beautiful, creative, thought-provoking words in the Christian world. We call these the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes, it means blessed. He says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who are meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessedness are you when men revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you on my account. So when you hear those words, and when you heard those words earlier this morning, did you measure yourself against those words? When you hear those words, when you heard those words, did you wonder if you were included among those who are blessed? And if you did measure yourself, then perhaps you added the word enough to that, as in, am I meek enough? Am I pure enough in heart? Am I merciful enough to be counted among the blessed? Because we all want to be counted among the blessed, don't we? So if you thought those kinds of things, and if you didn't, you're probably thinking them now, it would be natural. It's the way the natural man thinks, and it's the way the Christian thinks. We want to measure up so that we can be included among the blessed, but we find that we can't. We can't measure up. Sometimes we find we don't even try. And when we do try, sometimes we can be some of those things, but other times it seems like we're nowhere near the person being talked about here, and sometimes it seems like we're the complete antithesis of the person talked about here. Yeah, that's what we do for our athletes, and it's what we do for our soldiers. We name things after them. There's Holmgren Way up in Green Bay, and almost every military base and building has a name. And Christians do the same thing to honor those who have gone before us and to recall what they have done. I was reading Time magazine a year or two ago, and they showed a picture of a church down in Joplin, Missouri. And right about over there, there was a life-size poster of a man. And it said that man was a soldier who had gone over to Iraq and who had fought and who had died. And so he was a member of that church, and they put that life-size poster of him right up there where everybody could see it. So what do you think about that? What do you think about that? At Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, at Concordia University of Chicago, there are statues of Martin Luther. And the college kids really have a good time with the statue of Martin Luther. Statues of Martin Luther. What do you think about that? Putting statues of Martin Luther at these Lutheran schools. And if you walk into Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Charlotte, you are greeted by a stone with a quote from a man named Pete Knudsen. He used to be the Sunday school superintendent there. And if you look on the wall downstairs here, you'll see photos of former pastors. And you look around here, the windows and a lot of other places, you see some memorializing going on to people who aren't here any longer. What do you think of that? What do you think of that? Oh, and once a year, we maybe designate a day to remember some of those people. Last Sunday on Reformation Day, October 31, we remembered the work of the Reformers, particularly Martin Luther. And we sometimes name our churches after saints, St. Paul, St. Andrew. And if you look in the front of the hymnal, you'll see dates. And next to those dates, the names of people. And many of them have the ST dot in front of them. They're saints. And when those days fall on a Sunday, we might celebrate that saint's day by talking about Jesus and about him or her. A couple years ago at Emmanuel Charlotte, we celebrated Mary Magdalene's Day. We talked about Jesus and Mary Magdalene. It's what Christians do. We remember the past and the people who have passed. And we don't remember all people with monuments, but only those who are notable. We call them saints. We make memorials to them. So do you suppose that the man speaking those words measured himself against those blessed words like we do? Well, since the preacher is human, since he's a Christian, in all likelihood he did just that. And what do we find? And what did he find when he measured himself against those words? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are the merciful, pure in heart, the peacemakers, persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are you when men revile and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you on my account. When we measure him against those words, what do we find? We find him to be perfect on all counts. We find him to be perfect on all counts. That's what we find when we measure him against these words. He is perfectly poor in spirit. He is perfectly mournful, meek. And has anybody ever constantly hungered and thirsted after righteousness like he did? Perfectly merciful, perfectly pure in heart. The one who makes perfect peace between God and man. And who is for it persecuted, reviled, and has all kinds of evil uttered against him for it. Turns out, things did end the way that he thought it would end for John the Baptizer. Herod ordered his head up on a platter, and it was duly served to him. And things did end the way that he thought it would for him. He went to Jerusalem. He was mocked, tortured, and hung on a cross, where Satan, it means enemy, finding that opportune time talked about by Luke, used one of the thieves that hung beside him, the Roman soldiers, and his own pastors and church leaders as tools to tempt him in his final moments, and he did not sin. And because he was a man, the temptation was real, and it was excruciating. And yet he resisted every spear and arrow directed at him by Satan, the enemy. And because he is God, his perfect life and sacrificial death made payment for the sins of all people, of all times, and all places. Our sins, your sins, are put away. They are forgiven. The debt is paid. Heaven has been won and is given as a free gift. And so it is that every Christian who lives, whoever has lived, and whoever will live is also counted by God as among the blessed. Yes, you are among the blessed. Not because of self, but in spite of self, because we have been attached to the one who is truly blessed, Jesus Christ. Beginning with the 12, all of whom followed him, who followed John the Baptizer, who followed a long line of prophets in the Old Testament, and who are blessed except for Judas, who betrayed Jesus, all of them were given by the church that designation, saint. And the word means holy people. Because though they were sinners like the rest of us, though they often lost in the struggle against temptation like the rest of us, they persevered to the end. And they did not abandon the faith. They did not betray Jesus. And they did believe. And they did preach Christ crucified and resurrected. And they, along with others who had followed them, are given a feast day on the Christian calendar, which brings us to this day. On the Christian calendar, All Saints Day. It's actually November 1, but people don't want to come to church on Thursday, Friday? So we do it on Sunday, All Saints Sunday. And on this day especially, we remember, we recall, and we honor all of them. On this day, we remember, recall, and honor the rest Christians, blessed people, holy people, the saints who have gone before us and whose ranks we will one day join, because we are blessed because of Jesus who takes away our sins. And we look forward to the place where they are now. The writer of the Revelation describes that place, John the Apostle. He says they shall hunger no more. He's talking about heaven. Neither thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. That's heaven, and this is All Saints Day. I don't know about you, but on this day, I think of people like my grandparents. I think of people like ancestors I know but have never met. I think of friends of mine who are in heaven now, and I think of some of the more well-known saints. And you probably think of the same kinds of things on All Saints Day. Those who are in heaven, who have gone before you, who await your coming. And indeed, we look forward to the time when we will join them in that heavenly bliss. Mystic sweet communion with those whose rest is won. O blessed heavenly chorus, Lord, save us by your grace, we pray, that we, like saints before us, may see you face to face. Amen. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise for the offering.